sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Okay. Welcome, bienvenue to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka B Blizzak on Twitter, and Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com on the internet. Yeah, go to ShutUpPodcast.com to find my show notes and any other details about this beautiful podcast that you're listening to. FYI for new listeners and a reminder for people, returning listeners, to y'all returning is this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on July 17, 2022, and is brought to you by the letter FW. FW for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, a record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. There we go. All right, fun fact, funny story. Oh my God, okay, turn on the timer. All right, we're going to do this right this time. Fun story, I was 20 minutes into recording this episode, only to realize I'm looking at my recorder, R16 Zoom, and noticed that the timer when it's recording wasn't changing. Only to realize this motherfucker wasn't recording. So I was pretty much talking to myself and not recording. But the beauty in this is how I is now that because I did that is now I kind of know what I want to say and will probably spend less time rambling on. And yes, and my objective this time is to, even though I have another aggressive agenda, is to keep this shit an hour or very close to an hour. Not an hour, 20 minutes like I did last time. No, an hour at most. The timer's going on, and I'm rambling on. And let's just start. All right, first item on the agenda. All right, quick correction on the last episode, episode 8. What was it? What they called? On the last episode, if you listen to it, I kind of made the mistake. I made two mistakes in name pronunciation. One, I said R.I.P. to Tony Cicero. Turns out I actually meant Tony Sicabro. He played Polly in The Wire. Oh my God, The Sopranos. I swear I'm sober. I'm not high or drunk. I don't know what the fuck's going on right now. Yeah. Second mistake is I made reference to a Montreal comedian / activist / the black guy I listened to find out what the fuck's going on in black Quebec. His name is Renzel Dashington. On the last episode, I referred to him as Renzel Washington. It's Dashington. You know, shout out to Haitians, man, making up names that'll fuck you over like that. Yes, I'm blaming Haitian parents and the way they name their kids to my mistake. That's exactly what I just did. All right, okay. Before I start, because this episode is going to be heavy on some This Week in Therapy and this podcast. So, before I start, I want to play this clip from the Breaking Bad If you're a Breaking Bad fan, you'll recognize this is Walt talking to his wife and explains. Let's just play it.
Skyler. All the things that I did. You need to understand.
If I have to hear one more time that you did this for the family.
I did it for me. I liked it. I was good at it. I was really I was alive.
Bravo, 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 bravo. All right, okay. Now you're probably wondering what the fuck B Black does this white man who used to cook who cooked meth has to do with this podcast. Well, I'm explaining it to you. I just had a moment in therapy where I had to be reminded on why I do this podcast. Now I kept telling myself that I do it for the audience, that I'm not one of those selfish performers who does it for who's trying to perform who's doing it for their ego. My intentions is all noble. I'm doing it for the audience. I'm doing it for you. But the reality is, if I think too much about you, then you become the woman I'm just trying to fuck. So this is my reminder that the reason why I do this podcast is I do it for my own self, for my own selfish pleasure. You know, there's a possibility, just like some of my tweets, I recently tweeted this message and say that sometimes it's not about the people who are going to read it. It's about the person who needs to write it. And the things that I say on this podcast, on this microphone that I publish in the air, it's more for myself. It's more for myself. I mean, I do hate when I go on too long on my episodes. But the truth is, I say what I need to say it and how I need to say it. And if it takes the time that it needs to take, then so be it. But in the end, this podcast is my journey. Is my journey into self. I can have a longer I'm more preoccupied. I tend to be more preoccupied with what's going on in my head than what's going on in the outside world. Like, that's the shit I could talk about. Like, I wish I could be, you know, find your interests, reality TV show, and just babble on. But no, it's my thing. I've always been interested, not necessarily in myself, but the ghost behind the machine. Like, I'm curious about it. That's my fascination, and what you hear on here is, it's just my journey, man. Maybe I should do two kinds of episode where I do one for the audience and one for myself. The one I do for the audience, it's kind of like, I invite you to my place and I'm being a gracious host and, you know, and I'm doing shit like, hey, you want something to drink? Hey, you want something to eat? Hey, you want some music on? You want me to put the TV? You want to smoke this shit? You know what I mean? Like, I care about your needs. And then I'm also caring about when the fuck you'll be leaving. And that might be, like, the shit that I do for Patreon or that I do for free. Yeah. That might be the shit I do for Patreon. But the thing that I put out to the public will be my selfish, me being selfish, trying to be selfish. Which actually finally brings me to the title of this episode. One day it will all make sense. I was inspired this week by re-listening to the rap album by a rapper formerly known to us as Common Sense, and now he goes by the name Common. One Day It Will All Make Sense is his third album, and sorry, I'm keeping an eye on the recording, making sure that red motherfucking button is on. You don't know how it sucks to, like, talking to a microphone and realizing this motherfucker hasn't been recording. It's a good thing. I am not paying my sound engineer because I would fuck him up. Anyway, yeah. Where was I? Damn, I'm easily. I think I got ADHD, man. But I'm focusing. Yes. One day it will all make sense. I was inspired by the title of this album for two reasons. One, I love that album. The first time I ever heard it, it like spoke to me. And it still speaks to me. Like it felt like it was like a conversation with the artist. And basically any content that's out there that makes me think I'm a fan. It just turns me into a fan. And I'm not going to go track by, I'm not going to run the list of tracks because we'll be here a long time. And again, I'm not trying to be on this podcast, this episode for too long. Like, God damn it. It's plus 30 degrees out here in Celsius and my fan is off. So just show us. See, it's fucking hot. Anyways, yeah. So, yeah, I'm just going to, because I don't know if I can legally play this track, but the first track on this album is called Introspective, and it speaks so much to what I'm trying to do, or what at least what I think I'm trying to do with this podcast. Like, what I'm about to read could have been my first episode, the manifesto episode, the about me, the about us, about this podcast, about me. And he says, it goes like this. I don't know if it's a poem, but I'll just read the whole thing. It goes, I like to welcome everybody to the LP, in my case, the podcast. One day it will all make sense by me. What I want to do to you, really it's for you, is open my mental window, hoping that you will climb in or not at least look in. I want to take you to places that I've been and to places that I want to go. I mean, this music is all that I got. But it does mean a lot to me. I injected my whole being into it. And I've stopped and I've been doing it for a while. It's like my whole life has become a style. I want to get into it. Yeah. Yeah, man, that speaks like that's beautiful, man. It's like, yeah, no, this podcast is just, I spend a lot of time in my mind, and every once in a while, sometimes I share shit that I'm hoping will trigger a conversation, and because I appreciate when people, that's what that album, One Day It Will All Make Sense, was for me. It was him opening his mind, and it just triggered so many thoughts, especially when he talks about how he's 25 and he's trying to do all the right moves. I think I was 25 at the time when that album came out, and I was preoccupied with just doing things right. And it was just, it was a conversation with an artist that I needed to have. The second thing I like about the title of this album, One Day Will All Make Sense, is it reminded me of this milestone that I've been going for, in my life, is how there was a time where I did believe in the idea that one day it will all make sense. I guess heaven, the concept of the heaven and hell. And that life was all about fucking with suffering. Excuse me. Did I mention that the fan's off and it's warm in this room? So it's really warm. So I'm drinking a lot of water here. And what was I? Yeah, there was a time where I used to believe in heaven and hell. And life was all about suffering. Going through a whole bunch of pain, and then going through a whole bunch of bullshit. And once you got to heaven, God was there to explain to you on, this is why I need you to be in that concentration camp. This is why I need you to be in that failed marriage. This is why I needed you to want to find love and never have it. This is why I wanted you to be an artist that never makes it. Or this is why I wanted you to be a parent and experience losing a child. And then when you got there, God would break it down, would give you a reason that was so perfect that you'd be like, oh man, why the fuck didn't you tell me? Damn, I'll do it again. Like, that's what I thought life was. And I guess I don't find comfort anymore in the concept of in heaven, in the idea of heaven. Like, I really hope it's not a heaven. I think the first time I started to have my doubts about heaven, or one of the first time I had doubts about heaven, is when Tupac asked the question, I wonder if heaven's got a ghetto for thug niggas, a stress-free life, and a spot for drug dealers. And he just, and it just had me thinking about, what if my version of heaven is not the same as yours? Like, I think there's a white dude out there. His version of heaven is no black guys. I mean, there could be black women here, but no black guys. I mean, like, I can't be in there. Like, is God going to accommodate? No, they make it sound, they make it sound like, you know, the by the time you get to heaven that you'll be, oh, like, I'm saying, look, man, people think differently. There's some well-meaning people out there, I say well-meaning, right, living their lives, like, to me, they're like evil people, but for them, look, I'm fucking doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm just saying, look, I don't think, the idea of this heaven, this, you know what, when I think of heaven, I think of, it's filled with slave owners and their obedient slaves. That's what I think of. Like, the idea of heaven just doesn't comfort me anymore. Maybe when I lose a close loved one, I'll be hoping that they're in a good place. But for me, no, I'm kind of hoping that death is just one big nothing. Like, it's over. The suffering's over. The burden of existence is off your chest. Like, I don't even believe in reincarnation. Like, it's just you finally get the rest that you've been looking for. It's like the shit you've been worrying about is all gone. And, like, that's the... I'm not saying I want to die, but I'm saying the unpleasantness of life is gone. That's what I'm trying to... I'm kind of hoping that's what death is. So, yeah, no, it's like I don't care about things making sense anymore. I mean, I strive for it, but I think I've accepted that some shit are just going to... Like, hey, for some fucking... Like, yeah. That's how life is. That's where I am in life right now. So, yeah, I kind of like how thinking about the title of that album had me thinking about where I am in life compared to when I first listened to that album. So, shout out to Common. And maybe on another album I'll do, on another podcast episode, I'll do an album review. But for now, yeah, we're sticking with that. So, let's just jump to this week in therapy. A conversation I had with my therapist where she explained to me how breakthrough, she used the word, she said, I wish I would have written it down, but I think she said, breakthroughs usually happen after therapy. I used to believe they happen during and after, because when I go into therapy, the breakthrough, or at least what I thought was a breakthrough, was more, it was similar to the feeling of how I would feel when I would go to the barbershop after being in a day of being surrounded by, like, I live in Ottawa. I'm constantly surrounded by white people. And it's not the fact that they're white that's the problem. It's the fact that they're like the worst kind of white people. Like, not like, hey, like the, I'm oblivious to your existence as a black person kind of white people. Like, I don't see race. I don't know why I can't use the N-word in front of you. It's just six letters. Stop talking that black shit. Why you gotta make everything about race? Fucking all lives matter. Like, those, like, the kind of white people that you can't say shit about being black because I'll just fuck up their world. I'll just send them into a tailspin of, oh, I'm so guilty. I don't know what goes on. I don't know what it's like to be white. I don't know what goes on when they think of a black person. But it's just any acknowledgement of anything that makes me unique as a black person, like, fucks them up. Like, those kind of white people. So I have to, like, repress a part of me. And what I used to love about going to the barbershop, I'm thinking about this because I recently had this conversation with this brother that was there, is how you would get there and you're surrounded by by people who just got it, who were just, who could relate, who you didn't have to explain what you mean when you said word up. I don't know, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, you could talk about hip hop. I could just exist. That's what made the going to the barbershop great. The thing is, you know, as I therapy now is because in the barbershop I have to be a real man And I don't fit that definition too well. But in therapy, that's I thought that's what the breakthrough, that feeling of being able to just exist. I thought that was a breakthrough. But no, but I get it. Something I'm reflecting on what she's saying, and like it just made me think, and I'm realizing this podcast. Another thing about this podcast is trying to replicate what goes on in therapy. And sometimes I'm in the middle of a breakthrough and I'll share those thoughts with you, or I'm processing a breakthrough, or I'm trying to trigger another breakthrough or reflect on something that's what this podcast is about. That's really, in the end, you know, I'm either experiencing a breakthrough or trying to trigger another one. There's probably a third one, but I just thought it was powerful. I don't know if this was a breakthrough. I had a conversation with my dad that made me think, what do you do when the people who want the best for you want you to be someone you no longer want to be? Let you think about that one. When the people who want the best for you, or claim to want the best for you, want you to be someone you no longer want to be. So I got in this, I won't say it's an argument. It felt like an argument, but back and forth with my dad, where essentially he was expressing his disappointment that how I'm no longer involved in the church. How, like, in his mind, I'm going through some kind of depression that's caused me to, like, spiral into, like, I don't know. I think it's just, like, it's kind of, basically I'm behaving the same way I behave after a breakup. And I actually told him about it. And he was very sympathetic. Me and my mom were very sympathetic to my situation. And they were being like very like understanding that I needed time to heal. And I think that's how they're seeing me right now. I mean, sure, maybe there is a bit of depression. But the reality is I'm going through this transition where I'm trying to be a new version of he thinks because I stopped going to church, because in his mind, turn away from God, I am going through some kind of hell. When the reality is, what he never understood is the only reason I went to church was to make him and my mom happy. A lot of it had to do with just guilt. Like I always felt like I failed them as a son. You know, not getting married, but you know, it doesn't matter, you know, because I grew up with this notion that the purpose of life was to make your parents happy. And I blame the Bible for that shit. And and it just hit me like on my journey to trying to make these people happy, realizing that, yo, these people can't be happy. And then it led to just being, yo, life is just figuring it out for yourself. I guess they don't understand that. They didn't understand that. Anyway, so he was basically saying because you're in church, you're going through some bad things. And I was trying to say like because I've broken out from the church, it's actually a good thing. I'm actually standing up for myself. So he doesn't realize that I actually did not like a lot most of the people who went to church as people. A lot of them like want to have conversations with you about the last time they talked to Jesus or the Holy Spirit or some miracle, or how, hey, I had no money in my wallet. I was broke. Then I put my money in my pocket and I found $20. And I said, Jesus gave me that $20. Or maybe you just forgot that you had $20 in your fucking pocket. But you can't tell them that because then that makes you the asshole. Like, I was surrounded by people who, like, drained me more than contributed to my energy. Ah, fuck no, just the thought of being in church just drives me nuts, pretending to, you know, don't get me wrong, I did like the worship songs, you know, and shit like that, but most of the people in there, I did not want to engage. Like, I couldn't be my real self. I had to be like an accommodating version to them. Like, it was, Okay, so what I'm trying to say is, I'm glad I've stopped going to church. Like it's made life less shitty, go figure. And because he doesn't understand that, it bothers me. It is what it is. You know, it's the situation that I'm in. It is what it is. Yeah, it's just, I know. You know what? Okay, look. Throughout this podcast, I'm probably going to gripe, rant about my parents a lot. And it makes me feel guilty. But it finally hit me what my real problem with my parents are. Or their only mistake. The only mistake I would say my parents have made when it comes to raising their kids is not loving themselves. That's their biggest mistake. Out of everything that I'm saying, like, they're great people, great human beings, they tried, but their greatest mistake was creating another human being with the inability to even love themselves because they passed that on to their kids. Now, I want to blame slavery for this. Granted, you know, there's a lot of white people. There's a lot of people, you know, who have parents like mine who their inability to love themselves made them ineffective parents. Excuse me, but you know, for the sake of conversation, slavery. Anyway, yeah. But I'm just saying. I think my breakthrough, or maybe the part that I'm tapping myself on the shoulder, is being able to realize how much the ability to love yourself, to believe in, I deserve good shit. I deserve better. The ability to be fucking selfish, a bit selfish, not Donald Trump selfish. Not evil corporation selfish, but I mean the ability to say, hey, I'm thirsty, I'm getting something to drink. That's powerful. That's powerful. That is what I feel. That's where I'm doing better than they did. But unfortunately, I'm never gonna get that. I'm unlikely to get that acknowledgement from them. Where was I? Man, why were you raised? Yeah, anyways, yeah. So I'll skip to this. I'll skip to, there's another one I put in connections. So I've been wanting to do a whole episode about The Power of Vulnerability by Brené Brown. I talked about it in maybe the last and the previous episode. But for now, I'm just sticking to things that are stuck with, that stuck to me, because I don't feel in a position to preach to you or to talk to you about the power of vulnerability, because I'm struggling with it at the moment. But being able to break it down, like, there's one part where I've been obsessed with at the moment is connection. She talks about connection, how life is about making connection, and then it's been and how shame is like a cock blocker to that shit. Okay, there's a better scientific word to say, like, it's a hindering. I used the word cock blocking, like, you know, gets in the way of it. Like a condom, no, like shame, the fear of being rejected and all that shit is like one of the things that prevent you from establishing connections with other human beings. And I don't know, I'm just focused on that. I've been thinking a lot about that. And the last item I got for This Week in Therapy is Misunderstood. Come on, man. It's something that I wrote and I've been meaning to read out, and like I always put it on my agenda and I kept holding back, and I'm just going to read it because I forgot what I said. I don't know if I really believe it anymore. But anyway, it goes, this is something I wrote in my journal and I'm like reading out loud. All right. I said, Misunderstood. That's the title. Oh, wow. That reminds me. Misunderstood. That's why today's album is called One Day Will All Make Sense, because Common had a song called Misunderstood or Misunderstanding, one of the two, right? And I was trying to find some wisdom in there, and then it had me thinking, and from there, listening to that song led me back to remembering how that song. But anyways, yeah, holy shit, B. I'm on a motherfucking tangent, but again, this is more for me. I do it more for me than I do it for you. I got this timer in front of me. I'm trying to respect the time, but I don't know, man. This might be another fuck the timer moment again. But yeah, okay. All right. According to this, I'm still recording and I'm 30 minutes into it. Yes, okay. All right. This is what I wrote. Fucking Grammarlies. There's a lot of mistakes. I'm going to power through it, even though I didn't spell check this thing, and there's probably things in there that I whatever. It goes, it's actually rare for me to be on the same page with people. For the most part, I'm always feeling misunderstood, but never found comfort in that. Maybe that's the point of my life. Powering through that misunderstanding until you find someone who can get on the same page as you. I put as me, but powering through misunderstanding until I can find someone who can finally be on the same page as me. I think of some of my favorite plus size models who probably started out being told they were ugly, but instead of laying in a corner in a cocoon, they chose to blossom and bless my eyes with candy. I don't know if that makes sense. Yeah, I'm trying to say how I'm thinking of the plus size model who's always known she's been fine and puts herself out there. And despite knowing that a lot of people will be telling her, nah, you're ugly, you're disgusting, you're this, you're whatever. They powered through it. They did it. And them doing that ended up being a blessing for someone like that, because I enjoy plus size model. Shout out to you, plus size model. And I don't know. Okay, I'm going to get to that. The connection between me being misunderstood and them being, I guess being misunderstood makes me feel less than. Yeah, I had a session where I talked about how the idea of when anyone, I'm talking to someone and they give me a confused look, or they're saying, I have no idea what the fuck you're, my ability to say the letter F is messing with me. Yeah, I have no idea what the bleep you're talking about. Like that look of it just bothers me. I hate it. Anyway, sorry, one more paragraph to go. Misunderstood in connection to the word misunderstood. Like losing just feels natural to me. But every time I think that through, I can't stop myself about people's reaction to what they think I mean. I'm not sure what I meant by that. I'm not calling myself a loser. I'm saying every setback feels permanent and all the positive affirmation in the world won't help me out of them. It's kind of like, let me drive and figure out the direction. Let's hit the X button and close the app. Let me hit the X button and close the app. All right, I know what that means. Yeah, I know. I used to get annoyed by people who would, you're like using your computer and if you're familiar with Windows, there's several ways you can close an application. You know, you can click on the X, you can hit Alt F4, you can right click here, whatever. There's many roads lead to Rome, and I used to get annoyed at people who would like take this specific route that I'm familiar to. That's what I meant, and that's part of me talking about misunderstood. Okay, last line. The point is how huge of a chunk my personality is based on the possibility that you will misunderstand me. Yes, when I'm recording this podcast, what stresses me out the most is how I keep picturing someone listening to this podcast and having not a fucking clue what I'm trying to say. I have this joke that, it's not a joke, but it's a reality. It says, I have this bad habit of assuming people know what the fuck I'm talking about. Yeah, it's interesting. I'm talking about the part of my personality that's based on the idea that no one understands me, which is not true. But I always feel like, I guess it's because I've been surrounded by people who, like, you can get your way, a tactic for manipulation, gaslighting. It's like gaslighting. Yeah, one way you could use to manipulate someone is pretend like everything they say doesn't make sense. Because at some point they'll just give up and just give in to your way of doing things. Because they can't explain themselves to you, because they feel they can't explain themselves to you, they've convinced themselves that what they're doing doesn't make sense, so I shouldn't do it. So it's kind of like, hey, I want to go to McDonald's. McDonald's is a bad example, but I want to record a podcast. Why do you want to record a podcast? Well, you're not going to have a fan. People aren't going to listen to you and blah, 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 whatever. And it was just a way. So for people to get one over you is by pretending like they can't understand what the fuck you're saying. And since they can't understand you, then you start believing that then what you're doing doesn't make sense. So it kills the your desire to move forward with it. Anyways, that's my final breakthrough for this week in therapy. Which brings me to my TikTok clip break of the week. All right, and this is just a clip of something I found on TikTok that got to me, and I just felt like sharing and connecting with it. Here goes. And the name of the author is, you know, I'm not a fan of life coaches, but she's a life coach. That's a long story. That's another story. She's a life coach, and her name is Natasha. On TikTok is Natasha Pierre Official. But the way she spelled Natasha is like English, like French or English. It doesn't matter. Okay. At Natasha Pierre Official. There we go. Here we go. Let me unmute this motherfucker.
Unpopular opinion. And I know some people are going to be upset, but I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to you. Humility is keeping you stuck. Many people weaponize the word humble and use it as the opposite of arrogance, but it's not.
Sorry. Because I went into another tab. All right, I'm going to play this one more time.
Is keeping unpopular opinion. And I know some people are going to be upset, but I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to you. Humility is keeping you stuck. Many people weaponize the word humble and use it as the opposite of arrogance, but it's not. My definition of humble is agreeing with my God about me. Why would you dumb down when you're really smart? Why would you not acknowledge your beauty? Why would you act like you're not creative? Why would you not dress to the nines and drive that car and take those vacations? Because someone thinks you're not being humble? All those things that you want to do and be and places you want to go and things you want to create, do it. Because someone needs to see that it's possible. So no more of that humble nonsense. We walk in the fullness of who we are over here.
You know, I don't know this human being personally. Okay, sorry. You know, I was just about to comment about, I don't know if I would get a... There's a lot of content creators that they put out content I love so much. That I love the thing that they say, do, whatever. And I assume that, man, this person would get along. But I don't get that vibe from this person. I'm not saying she's a bad person, but I get the feeling she reminds me of the people I used to go to church with and didn't get along with. I could be wrong. You know, my instincts have been wrong. I think it's because she reminds me of someone else that I got beef with, low-key beef with. But... my bad. If Natasha is listening to this, she puts herself out there and I'm talking about how, yeah, I don't think I would like this person on. I'm sure she's a great human being. All right. Okay. What she said is profound. Now I remember. It's because she said, it's my understanding with my God. And I took it to be, I guess I felt like I was back in church and being told how to think. I think that's why I'm having this negative reaction towards her. But no, everything she said, I couldn't have said it better. Especially when she says, my understanding of humble. And I remember struggling with this idea. Shout out to the Clips. The Clips, he's got a line. Malice has a line. He goes, I try being humble. Humble get no respect. Now the first sign of trouble, that's a hole up in your neck. Thug life, baby. Anyway, yeah. I remember feeling like I was losing out with this idea of wanting people to believe that I was being humble. I have a friend. I don't know if he's listening to this, but we used to have this debate because I thought he was always arrogant and I was the humble one. And we use that strategy on women. he talks to all the women, but I pretended to be like, you know, I have no interest in you, woman. I want you to be who you are. Leave you alone. I am humble. I am not going to brag about my 12-inch dick. Okay, I don't have a 12-inch dick. My point is, He did all the talking, and I kept quiet, and thinking that quietness would make the woman be like all curious about me and why isn't he talking? And that shit didn't work. Anyway, yeah, I think what I love about what I connected to the most is, I forget what she says, is why wouldn't you talk about the fact that, in my case, that you have a podcast? Are you trying to be humble? Is that what you think you're doing? Or just, you know, put yourself out there, man. I think I was confusing not putting myself out there as being humble. And I'm realizing that I was bullshitting myself. Damn, man. Damn. Shout out to Natasha Official. Natasha Pierre Official, man. Because I really need to hear that. One more thing on reflection that I wanted to share. This one came from on Instagram. And it's by Self-Care With All. And it goes, you're better off choosing yourself than trying to convince someone to choose you. I think that's what I was talking about in the first part of my episode when I used that Breaking Bad clip. Choosing yourself. You're better off being unapologetically too much than apologizing for being yourself. You're better off losing someone else than losing yourself. That's got me thinking. And you're better off starting over than continuing something that no longer serves you, like going to church. You're better off changing your mind and hoping something will eventually change. You're better off being single and alone than feeling lonely in a relationship. Amen to that, brother. You're better off being disappointed by the things you tried and failed than regretting the chances you never took. Oh, man. Yeah. Powerful. Powerful. All right. Okay. Which finally, hey, not bad. All right. Okay. We're finally in the home stretch. I'm looking at this timer. It's been stressing me out, but, you know what? I'm going to lose that my moment. All right. Okay. I'm tap dancing and I'm not even at the ending yet. Okay. All right. So this last section I put is about the podcast and the rest of my life. This is what I wrote. I wrote comforting thoughts and I know just comforting thoughts that I know are temporary in my jealousy of a friend, Orville and the James Webb telescope. And the last thing was, you know what would make this whole podcast shit worth it? Is if I managed to make connections with other human beings that I never thought would be possible. That's what would, you know, in a way, it's like, you know, I guess I'm saying that, you know, if this podcast got me laid, but no, it's deeper than that. If I manage to put this out and finally reach people who are like, hey, I know what you're saying. I know what you're going through. I know what you mean. I listened to your podcast and it made me think, or, you know, and it sparked conversation. It just changed my way. It's, yeah. Because right now, when I think of this podcast, all I can think about is everyone that's going to listen to it and not going to like it. But what would make it worth it, is if I found the opposite. Yes. Yes. All right. If I found the opposite, you know, if I ended up finding love. Comforting thoughts. Yes. Okay. So comforting thoughts. One of the thoughts this week, I was going through this thing where it was like, oh yes. Okay. Now I remember. Yeah. I was going through the thought where I was starting to believe that, I had this conversation with my therapist. I said, yo, I feel like from now to when I die, nothing's going to change. I'm going to be reliving the same routine and nothing's going to change. Life sucks. And it's just going from suck to sucking even worse. And like I'm better off just dying. And of course she objected to that thinking, but I'm realizing that it's not that I have this belief. It's more that it comforts me to believe that shit. And I'm realizing that I started to think that is because I'm realizing that I'm jealous of a friend who's currently in Belgium. Shout out to her. She's like there for some festival, EDM festival. But I remember the first time she talked, this was like two years ago, where she talked about going to this festival. It was like, it was one of those things on her bucket list and she'd been meaning to go. And this year she finally said, you know what? Fuck this shit, man. I'm going to do it. And she finally did it. And I'm happy for her. I'm happy. You know, this is like motivational. But I remember there was a moment of jealousy. There's a feeling of jealousy. Not jealousy like sabotage our plan. It was more a healthy jealousy. It was more like the kind of jealousy that makes me think back and say, B, what the fuck are you doing with my, with your life? And because I didn't have that thought on check, I kept telling myself, no, this is what life is going to be. I'm going to let life pass me by while everyone else has fun. But I'm realizing her going on this trip is what's making me think about, what the fuck are you doing with your life? Some of my favorite conversations are the type that make me leave. Like the person was, they're not bragging. They're just talking about themselves. They're talking about their accomplishment or something exciting that they've done or a passion. And I leave there wondering, damn, what the fuck am I doing with my life? And it's those kind of thoughts, that it's that kind of jealousy that usually propels me into get up, get out, and get something out of Outkast. It's that kind of conversation. I guess, yeah, because I wasn't that, when it was unchecked, it caused me to be like, what, life sucks. Life's not going to get better. All I'm going to do is, shit is never going to change. But it's the kind of thought that make me realize that, yo, you know what? Fuck this, man. I'm going to publish this podcast. Anyway, yeah, just do better, man. It's those kind of thoughts that are like the ignition to me doing something big. Orville and the James Webb Space Telescope. So this week, the hashtag JWST was trending on Twitter, and it's because, and I'm going to dumb this down, is NASA has put up this telescope, it's like a better version of the Hubble, is it Hubble telescope? Yeah, telescope, and this motherfucker can see really deep into the universe. Like, apparently we can see as far back as the Big Bang. Like, it's like a major feat in human accomplishment. And there's a lot of fucking galaxy out there, and there's a shit is like clear. That's what we're talking about. And it just made me think of this TV show that I'm watching. It's called The Orville. It's called Orville. Sorry, I know I'm thinking popcorn too, but it's like a, I was gonna call it a low budget Star Trek. It's not Star Trek. It's kind of like, how do I compare it? It's like Orville is like a cheaper version or a smaller class of the Starship Enterprise, and they do menial work throughout the galaxy, throughout the universe, and throughout space. But they get into adventures. Anyways, they had this one episode where it was called First Contact, and they were excited about the fact that they were going to discover new civilizations and shit like that. I'll be honest with you, man. I've never been comfortable with the idea of meeting new aliens. Considering the fact that we as a people, you know, kind of suck. If we meet other aliens, I only see two possibilities. Either A, they're weaker than us, and white people are just going to talk us into, us black people, into enslaving them, and into exploiting them. Because, I mean, you know, well, there's some good people in us, but they're going to get exploited. Fuck that. See the way we treat Earth? The way we treat Earth, those poor bastards will be taken advantage of if we discover them. So that's the two possibilities. The second possibility is they're smarter than us. They're more powerful than us. And we got to worry about them not turning us into slaves. I guess that's kind of negative. But where I'm going with all this, with Orville and the James Webb telescope, and it brings me back to my obsession, or I've been thinking a lot about the power of vulnerability and making connections. And I guess for some people, their attempt to make connections, they're not focused on the negative. They're not like, you know, these people who make connections, they don't get into marriages expecting to get a divorce. They don't make new relationships expecting to have their heart broken. Nah, they're expecting wonders, amazing possibilities, and like my friend who went to Belgium, I'm thinking about how I kept it to myself, but my mom was in my head and thinking all the negative possibilities. See, that's what stops me from going to Europe, is I'm thinking of everything bad that will happen, that can happen between getting from me leaving my house and driving to the airport. Like my brain just goes into constantly negative mode as opposed to all the wonders that might be waiting for me. You know, I'm working on it. Look, I'm a work in motherfucking progress. This is where all this shit is going, man. Is I'm a work in progress, and how I guess I'm grateful for the human beings among us who still believe in making connections and inspire you to, you know, like sack up. I know, honestly, you know, to toughen up and meet this wondrous universe. You know, who knows what you might learn from it, what you might gain from it. That's what I'm kind of hoping this whole journey with this podcast is going to be, is this is me making first contact, hopefully meeting people that I didn't think would exist. Human beings who believe in empathy, who believe in fucking being kind and don't see it as a weakness, who trying to be better than the person that they were yesterday. All kinds of shit, you know, all that positive, positive good shit. And that's it. What did I write? Yeah, holy shit, I covered it. I covered it, everything that I wanted to. I guess I'm gonna leave with one church ratchetness, because I haven't had a chance to do it. Again, for those of you church ratchetness, for those of you who listen to the Black Guy Who Tips, who are probably telling yourself that, hey, you're stealing from the Black Guy Who Tips. You're stealing from their concept of sword ratchetness. And I want you to say, no, they're talking about swords, and I'm talking about church. And I also want to remind you that they're McDonald's. I'm McDowell's. So, yeah, this week in church ratchetness, where I talk shit about the church, is not specifically about the church, is I'm going to talk about this new TV show that I started watching. And it was actually for a conversation on pregame between Justin and Justin, Rod, and Karen on the Black Eye Who Tips. See, that's the okay. I'm not gonna explain myself, but I'm just saying they were talking about this TV show called Greenleaf, and I'm kind of hooked to it. And the reason why it's in my church ratchetness section is because Greenleaf is, if you grew up with the church and you're familiar with church politics, Greenleaf is up that alley. And I guess what I like about this show, I don't recommend it for everyone. I guess to me, what I like about this show is it's about a family who's a mega church pastor and all the drama that comes with, like, the temptation of money. Like, you're a mega church pastor, you're making shitload of money, and it's a challenge combining biblical scriptures with the quest for, and not treating your, and treating your church like a fucking business. It's like, you know, you want to do what's popular. You want to, you know, it's, I love that conflict. That's what I love about this show, what I love about this conflict, and it's fucking messy. It's messy, and it reminded me of my time in church, how I used to think that all church was is like a drug. Like, that's another reason why I got out of the church. It's like, look, man, if I'm just trying to blind myself from the real world, then I'm just going to use drugs, because drugs are more fun than fucking sitting in a church and giving my, you know, donations and hopping and hollering and shit like that. Nah, 'cause drug is more fun. That's what I'm trying to. Drugs is more fun than church. That's what I'm trying to tell you. If I'm just going to bury my head into the sand of the realities of, you know, bury my head into the sand and wait for God to come get me. But yeah, no, I guess what I love about this show is, for the fucking first time, they deal with real life shit. Is having a church member who's gay, having someone, you know, infidelities, like real life problem. I'm not trying to say this show is like a wholly accurate, but it was nice to see people who claim to be Christians and deal with real life shit. I bet Greenleaf is being criticized for, you know, talking about, oh, how dare you talking about homosexuality, or how dare you insinuate that the pastor would steal from the church. They do that shit. They, you know, like the pastor in there is like, he's a human being. It, yeah, I think that's what I like about it. It's like we're trying to be humans and Christian at the same time. And that's a lot of this conflict brings up. And yeah, man, shout out to Oprah Winfrey. She's the executive producer on this shit. And I don't know, for me, it's okay, look, I'm not saying that I'm going back to the church. I'm saying I wish this TV show existed while I was in church. That's what I'm trying to get at. With that said, all right, hey, okay, I'm gonna tap myself on the back because my timer is up, and I've used up all the time that I've told myself that I was going to use up. And, and finish with, this concludes today's episode. Holler at me on Twitter at bblizak, or on my website, or on the website, shutuppodcast.com. The email address for the show is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. And to subscribe to this show, just use our RSS feed until further notice. Thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast.